Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL 72. Sam and Tom with you for the next hour, talking all things Football League. We've got plenty of Yorkshire news to bring you, including the latest from Leeds United, where a couple more deals are very, very close now. Gordon Greer has joined Bradford at their pre-season training camp in Austria. We'll be talking all about that and the rest of the Yorkshire sides as well. We'll talk about Wolves, who are starting to make some big moves in the transfer market, including a club record fee. We'll discuss that. Johnny Howson moving from Norwich to Middlesbrough. Sunderland signing moves, and now all 72 managers across the Football League, all the vacancies have been filled. So we'll be discussing all that, plus your thoughts and Tom's thoughts on who may be the first manager to go, particularly in the Championship. We're going to get Tom's thoughts on that, plus we'll have some news from the Summer Transfer Centre. All that and more as we say good evening to Mr. Tom.
Hello.
Carnduff. You alright?
Yeah, you?
Good. Very good.
Good. Good.
Good. Pleasantries.
Good, yes. That seemed very forced, but good.
Yeah, it was good. We'll be keeping an eye on the tennis as well for you, where Johanna Konta is a set down currently in a last eight match at Wimbledon. Tom, yes. We'll start with Leeds United and a couple more transfers very, very close now.
Yeah, I think as it was last week, really, it's all kind of just all going on at Leeds. The European transfer network that seemed to be setting up is well in full swing. So, really positive. Samuel Saiz joining from Huesca in Spain. The deal's agreed. Apparently the medical takes a bit longer, because I saw a tweet saying under the current kind of regime now at Leeds, they do a bit more when it comes to sorting out deals. So that one there, they've got another one coming in as well. Ghanaian striker Caleb Ekuban is coming as well. And then there's someone else as well, but his name slips my mind, who's also apparently been left out of his side's game tonight after being linked to a move to Leeds and to England. So it's all go. It's all go at the moment for Leeds. They're really, really bringing in a lot of new faces.
Yeah, they're certainly going for it. Is there a slight bit of maybe not concern, maybe that's the wrong word, but last season, some of the signings that particularly did well for Leeds were kind of the core British players who did well in the Championship before. Rob Green, who maybe there's a bit of competition now for them, maybe he may be off. Cal Bartley obviously was a really solid loan signing for Leeds. Yeah. They seem to be bringing in a lot of players from the continent, obviously unproven at Championship level, but they're the kind of signings where they could go either way. You would not be surprised to see at the end of next season a couple of them definitely flopping.
Yeah. I think you take a risk of any signing, don't you, really? But, Leeds, of course, it seems to be the new network. The argument seems to be that the English market's overpriced. The prices are inflated, so Leeds would rather do their business in Europe because they can get a similar standard player, even better for cheaper, same price, whatever. So that seems to be the way they're going about. But at the end of the day, it's not previously where you look back at Chiellino's first summer at Leeds. There was a lot of influx of players from the Italian leagues. Those are players he knew. Those are his director of football, etc. knew. These are players that have come up from various leagues in Europe, but they're not exactly stabs in the dark. They're not exactly going, we'll take a gamble on this. You mentioned, there Samuel Saiz joining from Huesca. That's quite a big signing, I think, because read reports saying, some people believed he was the best player in the second division in Spain. La Liga interest in him as well from teams like Eibar, who Leeds come up against in pre-season in Austria. So they've beaten off competition to get these players, and there's going to be obvious interest in there. Like I said, it's the Championship experience, but Leeds do have a good mix now of players who do have Championship experience. I think if it was a completely a team of players who have not played in this league before, Leeds might struggle a bit. But you're thinking you're going to be mixing them in with, you know, if Green stays, then he stays. You've got Berardi, who's been here for a couple of years now. Janssen, who played last season here, he's going to be used to it as well. Whoever comes in at left back, you never know, they might give like a Tyler Denton a go. So that's your youngster, Ronaldo Vieira, coming off the back of a great debut season. Eunan O'Kane, Chris Wood up front as well, Kemar Roof, Pablo Hernandez. These are players with experience in this league, so I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to be throwing in players from abroad into a team who probably now are used to championship football. Like I said, I think one or two might not work out, but I don't think there's any team ever who's bought players in over one transfer window and they've all worked out perfectly. So it's just the way it goes, the risk you take.
Yeah, naturally, some won't work out, but for Leeds, obviously, hoping that a couple of those will really stick and hit the ground. Running a few comments coming in already on Facebook. Matthew Jenkinson will be contenders this year, lads. He's pointing out Janssen as a player there, where you were sticking some of the Leeds players across. Ross Barker, sounds to me like we've done our homework on these players, not like the random Italians. Cellino signed, no lost players from last season except Taylor. We have a great chance this season. Just need a replacement for Bartley now, he says.
Yeah, Bartley's an interesting one. I'd be surprised if Leeds, to be honest, sign anyone from the domestic market in terms of pay money. Bartley's going to come into that as well. But I think Bartley, though, he's a player that obviously was there last year. The fans want him. He's a captain. If Leeds need a captain, I think, and Carl Bartley's the man for it. Formed a great partnership with Pontus Janssen, but the issue they've got is that I think Swansea want to take a look at him. I saw he's off to the USA, I think, with them. So
yeah, Paul Clement seemed adamant at the end of last season that he did want to at least have a good look at him.
Yeah, so that's where you're kind of going, well, it's difficult to battle off. It's going to be interesting in him anyway, but especially if he's wanted at a Premier League club, it's going to be difficult for Leeds to bring him in. I think if there's one player Leeds do get from the domestic market, it's got to be Carl Bartley. He's proved it last year that Leeds' defence was just so solid last year. You know, after years of Leeds' defence stereotypically not being great, they really steadied the ship. So it'd be great to see him bring in. I just can't see Leeds getting many, if any, players from the domestic market at the moment, or players that they're going to have to pay for to get from the English market.
You mentioned the captain situation.
Yeah.
Who do you think captains Leeds this year if there is no Bartley to come back?
It's difficult. I've seen Janssen get suggested, but I don't know if Janssen's a captain. He's more of a bit of a cult hero type. You know, the fans love him. But I think it's difficult for him to get captaincy. I don't know. You're wondering that there's got to be some leaders in that room. Whether you're looking at a player like Ayling, maybe, who's got a bit of experience to him, seems very confident as a person, comes across very confident, seems well-respected amongst the Leeds ranks as well. You look to someone like that, or you look towards your midfield. Maybe, you never know, a Eunan O'Kane might step up as a real voice in the changing room. But I just think someone like Janssen as a captain, I'm not sure it might work out as well.
I'd have been saying a Rob Green type character, but obviously with the competition there now, not certain whether he'll play. Matthew Jenkinson comes back in with Chris Wood for captain.
Chris Wood, yeah. He seems quite, I don't know, he seems quite, obviously, seems to be quite a vocal person out on the pitch, etc. But I've always had this thing about strikers being captain. I know it's a weird thing to do, and I know it's very traditional, but I'm not sure if you're kind of out the play a bit. You just think that if your captain's a defender who's really getting stuck in, et cetera, then maybe they'll have a bit more of an influence. But yeah, I'm not sure on Chris Wood. I think he just needs to keep his head down and focus on replicating last season. Terrific season. It's going to be difficult for him to replicate it again, but you know, I don't know if he'd want the additional pressure of captaining the team through what's expected to be near promotion period. They're going to be looking at playoffs, etc. You probably just want your striker to get his head down, score the goals, and worry about the captaincy for someone else.
Keep your suggestions coming in, Leeds captain for this season. Talk to me about a man definitely not going to be captain, Giuseppe Belushi. What happened there at the weekend? The fans have given him a bit of stick. He retaliated on the pitch and also via social media as well. He's obviously not got a future at Leeds, but not helpful.
He's
having him around at the moment.
Doesn't sound like he's heading off to Austria. So that's a bit of an indication on, you know, his future. It sounds the impression or the what we're hearing is he's not going to Austria with the team. So there you go. But it's difficult. He's obviously, he seems to strike you as a negative character. You can talk about the players coming in and they need this, they need this, they need to bring in a Carl Bartley, etc. You can get in. Belushki's not a fantastic defender. He's okay. And, you know, that's at the best of times. The issue Leeds have got is if you want to be a successful team, a team who are going to achieve something good this year, you can't have negative characters around. He is a negative character. He is, you know, you can say what you want about abusing own players, etc. That's a completely different debate. The fact was that on Saturday, Leeds were playing Geisley in a pre-season friendly. The abuse, whatever, happened. But he sent a tweet out during the game he had just played in. He had played the first half. Whilst the second half was going on, he took to social media to send a bit of a retaliation out. That's not acceptable. No matter what, whether it's good, whether it's bad, you shouldn't be on social media during a game you have just played in while the game is still going on. It's essentially like a player just getting his phone out on the bench because fans have been goading him for missing a goal-scoring opportunity and him going, oh, well, I'll send a retaliation. It just kind of sums up the kind of impression that he gives off. And I think if Leeds truly want to be successful next year, you wanted to remove someone like that from an environment that is very positive at Leeds at the moment.
Yeah, and obviously the character, very, very questionable of the player. Philip, though, says Belushi either a brilliant game or truly shocking game, never in the middle.
The thing is, the problem we've got with him now is I think we underestimate in football characters. We always look at new signings, players, whatever, on their skill alone. He could end up, you know, he could end up going away next year and having a brilliant season somewhere. Fine, whatever. The issue he's got is the relationship between himself, the supporters, maybe the relationship between him and the players, you never know. It's not there. It's very negative. And if you want to achieve success, you need everyone to be pulling in the right direction. The issue is, if fans can't get behind a player, and whether that's right or wrong, everyone's got their own opinion of it, I've got an opinion on it, then there's an obvious problem. He could be brilliant all year, but the issue is, he could play brilliantly himself, but then his attitude and the way he presents himself, the things he say, or says, could annoy fans, could annoy the rest of the team, and, you know, the results could be massive, an effect on that. I just think it's someone that, it's obviously not going to work out at Leeds. He's been out on loan. He's come back. The first game of pre-season, all this has happened. We're talking about it again. I think we're talking of incomings. One of the priorities has to be outgoings and getting rid.
Indeed, yep. Pretty much summed up by everyone on Facebook. Paul Williams says side before self. Derek Clark getting involved. Pray for Belushi. He's saying... we're going to hear from Vernon Anita in a moment. Signing announced last week by Leeds, ahead of that kit unveiling.
Yes.
Still not happy?
White and gold.
Has the kit not grown on you at all?
It's bringing back that old... You remember that debate that happened about 12 months ago about that dress? Do people see it as blue and black? If they saw that as blue and black as well? That's the question you've got. But anyway... Oh, it's a terrible kit. Come on, white and gold.
I don't mind the kit. I'm just worried for the tracksuit to come out. And it's just to be a full white and gold Kappa tracksuit.
It's the gold logos. I'm not having it. I preferred... Coming off the back of two seasons of very good Kappa kits, it's all right, but it's just all right. But, yeah, the Vernon Anita thing, I think it was rumoured in the day. There was talk of it in the day, and they announced him at the kit launch. Brilliant signing, I think, on a free transfer as well. Very solid pickup. You've got to look at the fact that he's achieved success with Newcastle last year. We just spoke about character there. He knows what it takes to win. He's been in a winning environment in this league. A team that did very well, didn't lose a lot of games. It's great if you can bring someone like that into your changing room, and someone as well who you know is going to do a job. Seems to be quite a good, useful player to have around multiple positions. So very good bit of business, especially when you throw in that it's a free transfer.
Indeed, let's hear from him now. Here is Vernon Anita speaking to Radio Yorkshire's Andrew Dalton after that win against Guiseley at the weekend.
But Anita, what can tell you United was it that attracted you to the club?
Thank you very much. I know them from last season, of course. I play against them. It's a good team. The vision of the club that they told me is a very interesting vision, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
I'm guessing you won promotion last year with Newcastle. Yeah. You'd be hoping to do a double this season.
Of course, that's the main goal, but we need to take it step by step, of course. First the pre-season, get the fitness in, and crack on from there.
Now, I've seen you playing a variety of positions. What is your favourite position?
My favourite position is midfield, of course, but I can play more positions, and it's up to the coach, of course, where he puts me, and I'll do my best wherever.
I'm guessing you're looking forward to hopefully being involved against North Ferriby on Wednesday evening.
I heard the coach say something about that, so I'll be involved, I think. Today was my second training, so I just need to get my fitness in and see what happens on Wednesday.
Football chat and much more. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Vernonita there speaking to Andrew Stats Dalton after that win for Leeds against Guiseley at the weekend. Favourite position, midfield? Do you expect him to be featured in his strongest position for Leeds?
You'd imagine so. I think having spoke to a couple of Newcastle fans and seeing what others have said, it seems to be his strongest position. He seems to be able to slot in at fullback, but that seems to be a bit of a, you know, if needed, they can put him there. But his strongest position does seem midfield. And like I said, I think just as a player, it seems a very good addition to the side. He's been around a winning environment. So it's great that he's kind of come and bring that to Leeds, trying obviously for him. I'm sure he'll want to replicate it, go to the Premier League with Leeds. But yeah, I think we'll probably see him feature in midfield more. It just seems to be Leeds are currently bringing in more attacking options as opposed to defensive. It seems to be where you're going to play all these midfielders and attackers that they're linked with, bringing in, etc. A
couple of shouts on the captaincy. Ryan Threadgill says Berardi for captain for Leeds, and Dave Williams, Wood or Green.
I think I quite like the Berardi thing because I understand Janssen's a cult hero. Berardi is a bit as well, but Berardi seems to just sum up that typical Leeds United attitude of what Leeds fans want, where, you know, we've seen him play in a Leeds shirt covered in blood, etc., with head bandage on, with, you know, just that kind of attitude of he seems to happily throw himself in front of everything, make sure, you know, that anything he can do to prevent a goal will happen. You look at, reminds me of Liverpool, when Ben Woodburn, was it, scored his debut goal in the Cup. Bear in mind, Leeds were at Anfield. It was 0-0. He made it 1-0, 2-0, whatever it was. And there's the video immediately as Woodburn is running off celebrating. It's just Berardi slamming the floor. You're thinking, we're at Anfield playing Liverpool. And he is just furious that they've conceded a goal. So it's stuff like that that I think it's a good quality to have. You'd imagine he must be quite well respected amongst the team. And he seems to enjoy his time here. So if Berardi was given the captain's armband, I wouldn't have any complaints. I don't think people would either.
Indeed. Here's one for you. I didn't actually see. It was Philip Million, who he's suggesting Luke Ayling, as you mentioned before, for the captain's armband. But he also asked Lee Irwin, scoring goals in pre-season, should he be given a chance?
I don't know about Lee Irwin, to be honest. He was signed as a long-term future option, wasn't he, I think, when he came to Leeds. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about Lee. He's scored a few at Oldham, but then he seemed to struggle a bit at times as well, from what I've heard. I just think with the signings Leeds are bringing in, they're bringing in an attacking option, another forward coming in as well, as we said at the start. They seem to be strengthening up top. It looks like Antonsen could struggle as well next year, so whether he deserves a chance or not is debatable. I'm just not sure he's going to get it.
A few people listening from various places. Good evening to you all if you're listening on air or watching on Facebook as well. We've had one from Norway, someone from Ireland as well listening or watching this evening. Someone pointing out that Irwin struggled at Oldham last season. Ross Baker on Berardi said, but will Berardi get in the team this season with the competition at right back, or does he see him, Thomas Christian, see him as the permanent left back?
Leeds, the only left back they've been linked with is Cameron Borthwick-Jackson from Man United, and again, there's not as much in that, to be honest. They've kind of looked more towards attacking options. Names have been mentioned. Yeah, I'm not sure where he's going to put Berardi. I suppose it's a luxury to have the option to say if he needs to go left-back, if he needs to go right-back. Ayling can slot into centre-back as well, but I think he did well there purely because he was next to Bartley and they've played together during the youth system at centre-back. So, yeah, I'm not sure. He may end up playing left-back. I think he can still play left-back. He wasn't that bad there last year. He played out of position for a large part of the season and did pretty well. So, if that was the case, I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem if they need to do it.
Danny Woslin says Janssen should be captain all day long. We'll get 30 goals again this coming season. We hope he can. That's from Danny Rumsey. Do you think Wood can replicate his goal scoring achievements of last year?
You'd imagine so. The fact was Leeds created very little chances last year. Very little. The stats are there that Leeds' chance creation was not great at all, which just, hats off to Wood that he finished the division's top scorer in a team that didn't create many chances. They're bringing in the likes of Samuel Size, who, you can look at the stats on him. The stats say he's very much a chance creator as well. I think the other forward, the Ekuban, he seems to be a creator more than a finisher, so to speak. And they're looking at options out wide as well. They're looking at a few players out wide, so you can see it's an issue that's been addressed. And in fairness to Thomas Christiansen, the amount of research he did on Leeds last year at the interview suggests that he probably knows that they didn't create that many chances last year. So it's good to see that Leeds have identified that. And, in theory, you think about it, if Wood seemed to miss quite a lot of chances last year as well, and Leeds didn't create that many, if they're going to create double that this year, you've got to imagine that he's going to find a similar feat in goal scoring to this year.
Indeed. Let's move on for the moment. Keep your questions coming in. We will get to them throughout the show. But let's talk about Bradford.
Yes.
Because they're in Austria this week on pre-season. Gordon Greer, though, has joined them there. Former Brighton, of course. Was it Blackburn last season?
Yes.
As well, obviously left after their relegation to League One. Should they sign him permanently? A good signing for Bradford?
Yeah, I think so. He's a very experienced player and he's not exactly young, but he's got the experience which will help massively. I think for where Bradford want to be, which is obviously the top end of League One, that's a very good addition. You don't play at a team like Brighton by accident. Fair enough, they didn't get promoted while he was there, but they were up there. They were in the playoffs. They were a very good side. For Bradford to be inviting him along to pre-season tour abroad as well, suggests that there maybe is something in that they do want to bring him in on a permanent deal. And if they can, I think it'd be a very good addition. That, like I said, he's not young, but it's experience, and maybe that's what they need at the moment because they're bringing in some young players, especially up front. So to have some experience at the back will definitely help.
What have you made of the business so far of Bradford's? Promising?
More promising, more positive. I mean, we were sat here a few weeks ago going, they're going to struggle, it's all outgoings. But in fairness to them, the incomings they made look very positive. Some of the striking options, Dom Polion, for example, people have been questioning how many goals he scored, but Charlie White was pretty similar at one point. He didn't seem to score that many, had the season at Carlisle, moved to Bradford and did well, so it's good bit of business. It's good to see him kind of buying the talent from teams around them. They haven't got a massive amount. It's not, you know, it's not exactly uncommon knowledge that they don't have much money to spend, but what they do have, they're doing very well with it. And now, as opposed to a couple of weeks ago, you're going, yeah, you should expect to see Bradford definitely in the playoffs, hopefully pushing automatic.
Yes, hopefully. Let's hear from Stuart McCall right now. He's speaking to Derek Clark after Saturday's game against Bradford Park Avenue.
Pre-season, first game, how'd that go?
Well, I think the result will probably tell you it didn't go great, but listen, we knew it was a bit early for us. We've only been back probably a week and we've only, you know, gone, we haven't even played any big-sided games, but no excuses. You know, we give a couple of sloppy goals away. They hit a really good strike, and I think disappointing we managed to score a goal with all the opportunities we had, but new boys integrated with the lads that have been here. So, you know, 45 minutes each. The real work starts next week now when we get down to on the trip over to Germany and Austria, and we'll get a lot of good work in them, training twice a day, and we'll look forward to that.
Alex Gilead, Paul Tillage watching for the sidelines. You'll be hoping to get them a few minutes in when you go away.
Yeah, definitely. So they'll be back up and running now. They've had a good hard training session today. We thought it's like anything, the new lads come in, you'll always want to impress. So as much as we tell them just to sort of, you know, don't go mental. You can imagine if they played today, they've been trying to sprint and they're not up to that yet. They haven't done enough work, so they've got yesterday and today they've had a lot of you know, work and running in their legs and a bit of ball work. So yeah, we'll just look forward to getting away next week and really sort of focusing and, you know, putting our how we want to play and the philosophy we want about the club to the newer lads, and I'm sure it'll be good.
Number of new additions, Stuart, are you hoping to maybe get a few across the line?
No, probably not. I think we're only looking probably one right-sided centre-half. I think that'll be it. And when everyone's fit and ready, and, you know, we need, obviously, today showed we've got a lot of work to do. So once we get that, I think, you know, right-sided centre-half, and then we'll have a strong enough squad.
From Wednesday to United, the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go, Stuart McCall speaking to Derek Clark. Bradford in Austria at the moment. Tom, in terms of the odds for League One promotion, Bradford currently sitting the fourth favourites. Blackburn 13-8, Wigan 5-2, Portsmouth 3-1 to go straight up again. And then sit Bradford, the likes of Oxford, MK Dons, Scunthorpe had a good season last year. Do you think they're rightly place there?
I think when you're looking at the fact that the teams that you mentioned there, that Blackburn and Wigan are always going to be favoured to go straight back up. Portsmouth coming, finally got out of League Two, looked to be on the way back up, got a bit of momentum about them as well, of course. Kenny Jackett, very, very solid appointment for a team looking to get promotion out of League One. So it's really positive. And for Bradford, as ever, it's going to be a difficult league next year. It always is with League One. But they've now put themselves in a position where you really do think, okay, they can be serious promotion contenders. Where, like I said, I've said it, you know, just then that a couple of weeks ago we were really concerned for them. Now, you know, it all started with the backing of Stuart McCall publicly coming out and saying, look, this is the man that's taking us forward. We're not saying any more about it. And then bringing in some of the players that he wants. So yeah, it's very positive at the moment, and it's great to see, you know, that they seem to be on the way back up. I just think for fourth favourite, then yeah, I think that's about right. But you'd be expecting them to definitely be up and around automatic.
Yeah, looking at the promotion odds, Rotherham and Doncaster the same. To go opposite Rotherham coming down from the Championship.
I'm not sure.
Doncaster
Rotherham
promoted. Who'd you give the better shot to finish higher up the table?
Doncaster, Rotherham?
Yes.
Doncaster. I think the fact is that they're obviously on the way back up. They probably shouldn't have been down in League Two, let's be honest, but they've come back up. They've done well. I just think Rotherham, they've made a couple of okay additions, some good additions. I just think that last season was terrible. Just awful season for them. They need drastic change. They need a season of rebuilding. That's probably going to have to be this year. They may have to finish mid-table this year to, if they are to get back, to go again the season after. I just think that it's too negative at the moment. They don't see, nothing you've seen has filled you with confidence to go, yeah, they could go straight back up. Whereas Doncaster, you go, and they're not doing too much, but they don't really need to do too much. They've, you know, they're coming off the back of promotion, the momentum's there, and against a depleted kind of Rotherham side, Rotherham club still, you're going to be expecting them to finish higher.
Now, if you're watching on Facebook tonight or listening on air, just head to the Leeds United Twitter account. They've just posted a video 2 minutes ago.
Yes.
It's one of those videos, Tom.
Oh, no. Oh, no,
one of those videos.
Let me have a look.
Medical done, tick, is the posting. And there's a 42-second video, which, just skipping through it, it starts off. Starts off in a car. We're outside Elland Road.
Well,
we're turning in. We're turning into Elland Road. We're outside Elland Road.
It's raining.
We're going
so
up the lift
glum.
In the East End.
It's not loading for me. What's going on here?
Level two. We're there. Level two. Oh, we're walking through a nicely branded area. Some shirts on the wall. Into one of the offices. Oh, here we go. Contract's handed over. And that's it.
They're showing who the player is?
No.
It's obviously Samuel Saiz, isn't it? They announced yesterday that he's agreed a deal, but he needs to do his medical today.
Ooh, cliffhanger. Start watching EastEnders.
No, come on, Leeds. You're better than this. Don't get into this. But yeah, it's Samuel Saiz. Surely the club announced the deal yesterday. They said the medical needs to be done today. The other two that they're looking at, I don't think they've been able to get here yet. They seem to be flying over today, tomorrow. So that's your immediate guess. But like I said, very good addition. Very, very good addition for the club. Very positive as well that even if it's not a random stab in the dark, it is seems to be a transfer that they've really looked at and brought someone in.
There you go. Leeds United, a medical completed for a mystery player. Watch this space on that one, but I think pretty much everybody knows who that particular player is. Keep your questions coming in on Facebook, on Twitter as well. Alioski was the player before.
Yes.
The other Leeds United potential signing. A few people commenting on him, particularly Philip, who reckons that he could be our Anthony Knockhart if we sign him, because Macedonian winger. Would you be happy? Have you seen much of him? Any YouTube compilations?
I'm really, really weary of YouTube compilations, all right, because Adrian looked amazing on YouTube. And we're like, oh, he's going to be amazing. No, he won the fall onto floor, so well done to him. But, yeah, it's that excitement. It's the excitement of not knowing as much about these players. We can look at the stats, look at the reports, but, you know, you can only really judge them until they're here. The one that I'm probably most interested in is Samuel Saiz, because you know the reports are very positive and the stats are very good. He seems to have a hell of a shot on him as well, and the fact that was La Liga interested in him as well, it's just weird and nice after the past couple of years to see Leeds beating teams to the signing of players and good teams as well to get these players. But yeah, it's positive. Like I said, lots of attacking options. I just hope that the club are kind of going, right, that's that. We now need to look at the back and how we're going to strengthen defensively.
Keep your thoughts coming into us on the FL 72 tonight, either via Twitter or via Facebook, where you can watch us live. A few comments coming in about what we're talking about. And Samuel Saiz, Sky said that he has had his medical and it's underway now. So, yeah, expecting that one to be done, particularly with that video Leeds have posted this evening. Back to some of the other clubs. And last week, you completely missed off Hull City.
Yes, forgot they got relegated.
Yeah, forgot that they are
yes.
A Yorkshire club back in the Football League. So you promised me a dossier. Have you got me a dossier? What's been going on?
I don't really know what a dossier is, so I've put them in. Is it like a fact file or what?
Yeah.
Is it?
Bit of information, a bit more than a line. Normally binded.
Yeah. They play at the KCON in East Yorkshire.
Who have they signed? Who's in? Who's out? What's happening?
Ola Aina, is it? Aina? Aina?
Ola Aina from Chelsea.
From Chelsea, yes. Defender. I think it's an area they need to strengthen. El Mohammadi seems to be on the way out by the sounds of it. So,
yeah. Is he only allowed to play for Steve Bruce?
I think that's the rule.
Steve Bruce at Arnhem. There must be some kind of thing.
Unconfirmed reports that's true. But yeah,
this will be the third time he signed for Steve Bruce. It's like Sunderland, Hull.
It's getting Neil Warnock, Paddy Kenny-esque, isn't it? It's like, come on, let it go now. Come on, just let him go somewhere else. Mm. Let him play somewhere else. But yeah, not sure on Hull this year because, of course, they've lost some big names. They had some big names being a Premier League team, more so much than Sunderland. And they seem to be bringing players in, but to be honest, I've not seen too much of this incoming Chelsea loanee. May have featured a bit, but in terms of some of the other Chelsea loanees that we've seen, because, you know, you're never more than 6 feet away from someone who on loan from Chelsea. You know, we know a bit more about some of the others, but it's still positive. It's still good to see him coming in. It's just that season-long loans when they've got the parachute payments, they've got money from player sales. You'd be expecting them to spend a bit more, I think.
Barnsley, what's happening there?
Not massive amounts, really. Nothing ever happens at Barnsley. But they,
apart from they sell everyone.
Yeah, apart from that, they're selling someone else. Andy Yeadum is the subject. He's subject of transfer battle between Huddersfield and Swansea. However, it seems to emerge today he's going to reject a new contract to go to Huddersfield for around £2.5 million, apparently.
So, how about these players from Barnsley? I know they did well last year and they ended up,
it's just like,
and they were knocking on the door, but pretty much
everyone's gone, right, we're off, see you later.
Gone, like,
thank you, bye.
Top six, bar and half bar for the Premier League. Yeah, the whole team's gone.
Yeah, I know. You think that, you go, well, one or two, but it does seem now that just entire team is leaving to go to somewhere better. It's reflected, you talk about odds for League One, it's reflected in the odds for the Championship. I think they're third favourite to get relegated, and at the moment, you can kind of see why.
Yeah, I think they'll struggle this year. I think it's a huge shame for Paul Heckingbottom with the job that he's done.
It's going to be a big ask for Paul Heckingbottom. It's going to be a real test because, you know, I think we're quite a fan of him here. We keep saying, how has he not been considered for more bigger jobs? But it's going to be a real test for him. It's going to be something new, I guess. He came into Barnsley at the bottom of League One, turned it around completely, took him to Championship, took him to Wembley success twice. This is going to be something new for him. It's going to be a challenge, and who knows? Who knows? It's going to be competitive down the bottom end of the Championship this year, I think more so than this year. So it is going to be a real tough test for him.
As we were saying at the top of the show, all the jobs are now taken across the Football League. Mm-hmm. In the Championship, well, give us a couple of names. Who do you reckon could be the first casualty? I can't see Mark Warburton lasting a full season at Nottingham Forest.
No, Warburton, of course. Warburton for Forest. It's difficult.
I think Slutsky as well.
That's what I mean.
Hull Slutsky won't last too long. He's got Darko Milinic written all over him.
Well, he's friends with, someone pointed out on the Facebook, he's friends with Roman Abramovich. Like, really good friends, so you should expect to see more Chelsea loanees coming in. Steve Bruce at Aston Villa.
You think? I think
that could be difficult because the amount that
Aston Villa are winning the league.
But what? That's the thing, what if they don't win the league? Or what if they end up doing what they did a bit this season and in November they're 15th?
I just can't see that with the play. If they sign the likes of El Mahdi and, you know, the...
Yeah, but they signed good players last year. They signed good players last year. They spent £45 million on three strikers.
Yeah, but they've got a better manager this time.
I don't know. I just think
that... Track record, Steve Bruce.
It could be trouble if they struggle again because Dr. Tony, the owner, of course, and his weird Twitter formula things that he does might end up doing a little formula for. Steve Bruce is sacked, but yeah, it's difficult. Thomas Christiansen at Leeds, I think, is probably a bit safer than if it was under Chiellino. It's just what you're expecting from teams this year. You never know. Fulham, of course, given Jokanovic a new deal, I think, this summer, but it depends how well they start at the season.
Well, like Ian Holloway at QPR.
Yeah, that seems
where
to be one.
Where can he take QPR in this division where it's just so competitive?
QPR seem to be one of those where they're just going to be struggling, stranded at mid-table for a few seasons. I don't think they're going to go down, but they're going to be nowhere near promotion, surely. I just don't think they're going anywhere at the moment, which, like I said, could cause problems for Holloway.
Yeah, nowhere fast. I'm shocked that your boy Mick McCarthy is still at Ipswich. I thought he might walk away this summer. Because, again, it's a similar job. Where is he going to take them? Where can he take Ipswich now? This division's too hard for Ipswich. They've got no money. A bit like Preston. They've got no money. They're just stuck. They're going to be stuck in the bottom half. That's it. That's all you can ask for. And the fans are just frustration at Ipswich with Mick McCarthy. The fans have always been frustrated with him. I'm just surprised that that hasn't at some point boiled over into Mick just walking away or taking another job.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he's still there. I just thought there might have been a job that he'd have fancied and maybe gone for or just left a bit of time, got a different job. I just don't see where Ipswich can go under Mick McCarthy now.
I think Mick McCarthy's safer because it seems to be in his hands whether he stays or goes because, like you said, they don't have much money. They're not really going anywhere, but Mick McCarthy seems to be the type of manager who can get the best out of nothing. Look at some of the players he's bought in during his time at Ipswich. Everyone else is going, why are you bringing them in? They're not good championship players. And he's made it work. He's got the best out of them. So I think Mick McCarthy, it's more in his hands, which obviously makes him safer. I think it'd be a case of careful what you wish for if you sack him because, you know, at the end of the day, it's someone who is getting the best out of that. Someone else comes in, could they do the same? Probably not.
Couple of shouts from Facebook. Philip says the Wolves boss will be the first casualty,
yes.
Mr. Nuno.
Wolves it's going to go, I've said this before, it's going to go very well or very wrong.
Yeah. Well, the next message then, Tom Zanetti says Wolves equal dark horse, they will do well. So again, split straight down the middle on Wolves.
You don't know, it's just the transfer policy, isn't it? I don't know if I trust an agent to be in charge of my transfers because is he going to have Wolves' best interests at heart or is he going to have his own best interests at heart? It's not like a director of football, it's not like Victor Orta at Leeds who his job is to recruit players so Leeds do well. This agent's job is to recruit players that he's probably the agent of to get himself some more money.
Yeah, well, they've been making moves this week.
Yeah, definitely.
Wolves.
Yeah.
Who are some of the players that they've...
There's a couple. John Ruddy seems a very reliable pickup goalkeeper from Norwich on a free. Ruben Neves as well from Porto, £18 million club record fee. that seems to be a bit... I said this last week, it just seems to be OTT to spend £18 million on one player in the championship. This guy's probably not heard of Wolves, let's be honest. He's probably not heard or knows nothing about Wolves, but the money's there, so he's come. It just seems to be a bizarre one. Willie Bolly as well, who's joined from Porto on a season-long loan, played 5 games for him last year, but Helder Costa's out for 3-4 months injury, so that's a big loss for them. I just think £18 million on one player in the championship just seems unnecessary when they've got him, they've got Costa, but they're not throwing money at any other position. It just seems to be the hoping that they've got two players who are good, too good for the league, who are going to do a job and sort it out for everyone else.
Yeah, Philip says £50 million on a central midfielder, incredible pressure to deliver. Paul Williams has another name that he's throwing out there, old Carlos Carvajal.
Yes.
Sheffield Wednesday. How can Sheffield Wednesday spend like they have been? £10 million on strikers coming off the bench. How? Question mark. But yeah, he's saying Carlos, if they get off to a bad start, will go.
Yeah. I think Carlos, he's got a very good relationship with the owner, hasn't he? I just think that it's this year or he's gone. Because they've spent a lot of money and friendship. You know, he can get on really well with the owner, but the owner will want Premier League football. They spent a lot of money, like Paul said there. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money on strikers as well. It's the balance of keeping everyone happy and financial fair play. They seem to have managed it by putting the Rhodes deal was a loan last year, permanent this year, to kind of shift it around windows, etc. But it's got to be this year for Wednesday, otherwise you can't see Carlos getting a fourth season at it with more money to spend when it's just not happening. They didn't get any closer last year, and if it's the same this year, you never know. It's going to be competitive at the top end. More teams are spending. What if they don't make the playoffs? Because it looked like they nearly didn't at one point this season. So it's got to be going up this year, I think, or that could be it for Carlos.
Part of me wonders whether Simon Grayson has walked into one at Sunderland and whether the owner may not understand or have the patience for the rebuilding job needed.
I think he's going to have to. Sunderland need a massive rebuild. And like Rotherham, whether this year it's not going to be a great year, they may finish 13th, 14th, but it's needed. They've got a lot of deadwood that they need to get rid of. They've come off the back of an awful Premier League season, awful. Much like Rotherham in the Championship, they were awful last year. They've come down. Nothing fills you with confidence at the moment. There's not much money there. They're bringing players in on loan, for example. Decent players on loan, but it's not exactly like you're looking around the league and going, well, you know, they're spending this much on a player, they're spending this much. I just can't see them being up there. I like Grayson. I think Grayson's a good manager, and I think he's good for the long-term project that they need. But do you get long-term in football anymore? It seems to be now or never. So it's going to be difficult for him.
Indeed. Johnny Howson signing for Middlesbrough.
Yes, yes.
Showing up with Gary Monk.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense now when you said, when we say that Howson's name was mentioned at Leeds and there was talk around the inside Leeds United of getting Howson to come there. Now it seems to be that, well, it was Gary Monk who was the one who put that in. He's gone to Middlesbrough, he's taken him. Very good player, very good Championship player. I think he's still got a lot to offer anyone who wants to be at the top end. And for Norwich, I think they need to cut the wage bill drastically this year for financial fair play. It's coming to the end of the parachute payments as well. So it's a name off their books, but I think it's going to be a big loss for them. And for Middlesbrough, who you fancy to be up there, to be in and around automatic, definitely the playoffs, it's a very good addition.
I'm not sure who messaged this in. It was on Facebook a little earlier when we started talking about the managers. I think it might have been Paul Williams. But he was saying, who's finishing higher between the Yorkshire clubs in the Championship?
Difficult. So in the Championship...
So obviously you got definitely Sheffield Wednesday have got to be up there.
Dump Barnsley off. We just take them out of the equation. It's going to be between, I think, Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds, obviously. Sheffield United won't be too far behind, but I don't think they'll be challenging. I think they'll do all right. I think they'll be mid-table.
Yeah, I think they might have a Barnsley-style season last year. Start off really well, maybe lose someone, fade a bit, but not as drastically as Barnsley did.
They're probably at one point there, you look and you'll be going, no, they're only touching distance from playoffs. They're not far off, but I think it's going to be tussle between Leeds and Sheffield Wednesday, and I don't know, I think you can underestimate positivity, and I think the positivity around Leeds is massive at the moment. It's just huge that the fans, everyone's loving it. Rad Rosani's come in and he's just put the money on the table, bought Elland Road, bought these players, bringing this, bringing that, and I think that's going to help massively. I think they'll be backed by a big crowd, and it's a gamble. It's hard because we don't know much about Thomas Christiansen. But at the moment, from trying to be as neutral as I can, I just think Leeds might edge it, but only slightly. Only slightly if they are going to finish above Wednesday.
The worry about Carlos Carvalho, if they get off to a bad start. They have actually not got a bad start to the season, Sheffield Wednesday. Away at Preston on the opening day. I don't think Preston...
Should be a win, shouldn't it?
Yeah, anywhere near as good as they have been under Simon Grayson. I fear for them this year. Then they've got QPR at home, Sunderland at home, who could be anything. They go to Fulham, they're away at Burton, then they've got Forest and Brentford before they go away to Cardiff. So I think that's a
good
pretty
start,
reasonable start.
Yeah.
They should, if they can't get off to a good start.
Yeah, then you're really worried, aren't you?
Then you will be really worried. Yeah. But yeah, I think that they should be all right, and Carlos should be all right to survive that first part of the season, which is just the worry for me, just that start of the season.
Yeah, I think it depends. You've looked at cases recently where, you know, Leeds had a terrible start last year to try and bring it to Leeds, but that's the obvious example where first six games they were terrible, absolutely terrible. At times they weren't getting the results. Monk was so close to being sacked, but then they just turned it around. They should have been playoffs. They could have challenged automatic, but you know, a freak drop off, should we say? It's not common for that to happen. Prevented them. So you know, after that, even if they do have a poor start, you'd fancy them to turn it around. They got the players, they've got the coaches, they've got everything there needed for success, really. But like I said, it's going to be a tussle between Wednesday and Leeds, I think, this year. Probably a bit closer than last year, but Leeds might just edge it. And if they do, it's only going to be by a couple of points.
Mm. What do you think about the amount of that Leeds are on television in the opening few weeks?
Obviously, stupid, isn't it? It's just stupid. Simple as that.
Yeah, it's going to be... Obviously, the circus is going to come. I know, obviously, the manager did well in the Europa League last year. But this is going to be a whole different pressure, especially when, you know, so many of the first few games are all in front of the Sky cameras.
Yeah, I know. Everyone gets annoyed at Leeds being on TV, but I think the people who get the most annoyed are Leeds fans because it just messes with the schedule. But then the viewing figures are there to back up why Leeds are always on, because Leeds are the most watched team. Simple as it. The viewing figures are there to prove that. So, yeah, that's going to be the bigger pressure. But to be frank, I don't think it matters if you're on TV. You're going to be playing that game on that day anyway. You're going to be playing at Elland Road. You're going to be playing at the Macron Stadium as it is. It doesn't, it shouldn't matter. So I don't think that's going to be too much of a problem. I just think it's going to be difficult for him anyway. So obviously, it's Leeds. It's a big job. It's a league he's not familiar with. But he's obviously done his research. He seemed to come into an interview where he essentially told the board and went, well, this is what I want to do. This is what Leeds... This is the strength. Went through player by player. Went through games where Leeds went wrong and went, this is where they went wrong. This is what they needed to do. So in fairness to him, I think he's done his research. And I don't think Sky cameras should affect Leeds too much.
Hope not. Have you changed at all who you think might be winning the league? Does a signing of a Johnny Howson by Middlesbrough put them as your favourites? Because you're not with Aston Villa.
No, I don't know. I just don't necessarily think just spending a lot of money is guaranteed to bring success. It's not necessarily the formula to do. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think Reading will be anywhere near this year. I think they're really going to fall off. I think it might be mid-table for them. Maybe a Fulham, potentially, if they can find that back end of the season form. Nothing's changed. They've managed to keep the likes of Tom Kearney onto a long-term contract. Kept the manager. A lot of positivity flying around Fulham. If they can bring that into this season, they're going to do well. It's just difficult to call this year. More so, you've not got a Newcastle, yeah, or Brighton.
I think it's
like
more
last
difficult
year
all round, but to actually go and win it, it's pretty wide open.
Yeah, I think that makes it better for the league, really, where, you know, it could literally be any one of Fulham, Middlesbrough, Sheffield Wednesday, of course, as well. Norwich, who might struggle, but they're always up and around there. Derby, of course, with Rowett as well. You know, even Leeds, as silly as it sounds, that you never know. You never know. This could all click. These players could be brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and could really work well together. You never know, but it makes it good. It makes it good for, you know, you may support a team in the Championship, but from that neutral aspect as well, it makes it more exciting, whereas last year we're all going, well, Newcastle are going to get one of the automatic spots anyway. They nearly didn't at one point, but they are. So that's kind of one gone. It's just going to be everyone fighting for second or whatever, but that's not there this year, and it makes it more exciting.
Indeed, if I was to give you an English pound to put a bet on 16-1 Leeds United winning the Championship, would you take it?
Yes, I would.
Right, I'll give you a
because quick. Oh, thanks. That could be our charity bet of the year. Like I say, I just think you never know. You never know, and they have more of a chance this year than last year.
Well, I'll take a very quick break before Tom will bring us the summer transfer centre update.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Last couple of minutes of tonight's show, and Tom is going to bring us the summer transfer centre update in approximately 60 seconds.
Oh, right, okay, cool. Lots of time then. Newcastle United's Daryl Murphy. A bit forgotten, really, since the move from Ipswich. Featured a bit, but not too much. Looks to be on the way back to the Championship. Apparently Sunderland, Villa, Forest and Birmingham all interested in bringing him in. Very good addition when you think, you know, he's proven at this level. Middlesbrough, of course, coming off the back of Howson, making a couple of additions. Want to sign Kieran Westwood from Sheffield Wednesday. Apparently going to make an improved £4.5 million offer. If that's the case, you're wondering where Rob Green at Leeds is going to be, if he's going to stay, because they were rumoured to be looking at him. Norwich City have rejected an £8 million bid for from Newcastle for Jacob Murphy of Snapchat fame with the Blackpool we're going to lose again thing. Birmingham City, again, Tommy Elphick from Villa. Could that one happen? I'm not sure. Can they change? Is it one of these where you just can't go, you're one or the other?
I think they can. If you're Tommy Elphick, it's like, I think it was like 10 years ago and it was someone good.
Dion Dublin.
Emil Heskey.
Oh.
Then you'd be saying no. But
that was a riot.
Tommy Elphick.
I forgot he played. Yeah, he's gone. And then Norwich, back to then Union Berlin's Tony Leinschner. So there you go, 3.1 million from Union Berlin, who are currently... Where was it? I found it was there. They're beating Birmingham.
Well, to say I gave you 60 seconds, you've had 90. Thanks for your interaction tonight. Aston Villa was Regan Taylor's pick for the championship. Philip went with Fulham. They'll definitely go up somehow. Tom Zanetti picked Fulham, but said Leeds could do it. Leeds United could win the league if Fulham slack off, particularly with some of the signings that are linked. And that's all for this evening. Tom Maguire is next with the evening show. David Bolton back with Yorkshire Knights from 10.